which says, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That is what we ought to do about God. And then, of course, the scriptures that we know, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. And then we have in John 12 that goes along with that, I am not the one who will judge those who refuse to obey my teaching. I came to save the people of this world, not to be their judge. But everyone who rejects me and my teaching will be judged on the last day by what I have said. I don't speak on my own. I say only what the Father who sent me has told me to say. I believe those scriptures are very important. I believe they go together with the subject that we're going to look at now. Now, there's a lot more than 10 things about hell. But this is just 10 that we're going to look at. And I'm not going to do a whole lot of elaborating on anything. I will just read the scriptures. The scriptures themselves is going to tell us about hell. What I have done in times past, I have asked people, what do you know about hell? And they will come up with different things about hell. And I would then ask them, where did you get this information? How did you come about these things that you're saying? And of course, they will say, the Bible. So we know there are some people who read the Bible, they know what God has said about hell, but yet and still, they don't fear hell. They do what they do. And it's sad that there is a lot of, quote, unquote, Christians that don't fear hell. So hopefully tonight, and every time you read the Bible and you come across what God has to say about hell, that it's going to mean a whole lot more than just, oh well, it's just some words. Hell is a place, as is heaven. Everybody that you talk to, they believe that there is a heaven. I want to go there. What, do you believe in hell? Oh, no. Well, God said there is a place that's called hell. And what the Bible teach us, that it is a place that you are from the presence of God. And it was prepared for those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so now, if you want to go there, the scripture, I like using this scripture because I want people to fear what is going to happen to them. In Thessalonians, we know that it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance. Think about these words. Taking vengeance on those who do not know God. And on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. I think most of you guys know that I like other scriptures, other translations, because they, in a sense, make things, I believe, a little bit clearer. I would like to share two more with you. And with a flaming fire, our Lord Jesus will punish anyone who doesn't know God and won't obey his message. Their punishment will be eternal destruction, and they will be kept far from the presence of our Lord and his glorious strength. In flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall pay a penalty, eternal destruction, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. After you read that, shouldn't you be afraid? Shouldn't you be saying, I don't want that to happen to me? But yet there are millions and millions and millions of people that doesn't even affect them. So, with that warning in mind, let's look at some things that the Bible says. Oh, by the way, let me share this with you. This word hell, and there's a whole lot more translations you can get in there and a lot more scriptures, but here's a few things that some people dug up and said what this hell is. The translation of the Hebrew word Sheol, which signifies the unseen state. Sheol is also translated as pit, lowest pit, Sheol, and grave in some versions. The translation of the Greek word Hades, which signifies the unseen world, the future abode of the wicked. And the wicked is anybody that does not obey God. That's how God views them. Fact one, the Bible says hell is likened to a lake of fire which the wicked will be cast into. Now, I don't know about you, but I can envision what a lake is. I can envision what fire is. And I've seen fire on water, but it does go out. But can you imagine a lake? Now, one other thing before I go any further. These things is just a picture that your mind can wrap around what hell possibly is all about. But it's worse. It's worse. So I want you to remember the worst part. This is giving you something to envision. If you don't obey God, that's where you may wind up. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophets that wrought the signs on his, in his sight, wherewith he deceived them that have received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. They too were cast alive into the lake of fire that burneth with brimstone. That's what that verse says. This one says, and if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Fact two, hell is likened to a bottomless pit. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key of the abyss, and a great chain was in his hand. Now, can you imagine? You know, we've seen movies showing people that has fallen down into a hole of some sort. And there's nothing down there that can help them to get out. Can you imagine the fear that is going on? But like that first one says, most pits, to our knowledge, has a bottom. But can you imagine something that's bottomless? So we have a description of a lake of fire and a bottomless pit. And that's where the evil people are going to go for eternity. Now, fact three is one that I really find interesting, and when I first came across it, I said, you know, if you guys remember, there was a program on TV, and Arsenio Hall used to say, Well, this is one of them huns. It says hell was never prepared for people. It was never prepared for us. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. And there is where we're going to go if we don't obey. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. God had a better place for humans, but we humans decided that we did not want to go there. And so he had a place prepared for the angels, which he knew was going to do what they were going to do. And he also knew that certain individuals was not going to obey him, and they too was going to go where the devil and his angels are. Now this is another one that should put fear into you. It is of everlasting punishment. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous is unto life, unto life eternal. Now most of us in here, we hurt. But you know, after a couple of days, that hurt go away. We don't hurt there anymore. We hurt someplace else. But can you imagine a hurt, an ache, and pain that never, ever, 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 ever stop? You can't imagine that. But that's what's going to happen. Punishment. Things that we did to deserve to go there will never stop. Hell is a place where one can never repent. The Bible tells us today is the day of your salvation. Today, we need to repent of whatever it is we're doing wrong. Once you die, it's over. It is over. Matthew 12:32, and whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever shall speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in the world which is to come. Now, I have said this from time to time, and possibly you, that individuals that we know that profess to be such and so, when they die, they now know what it's all about. I believe that. If you believe in the Bible, you believe that. And so think of this. All the people that are dying right now that never believed in God, they now know. It's too late to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, give me an opportunity. The opportunity is right now if you believe God. Torment. Let's add that with the punishment. This is one that I find that it's really, I like this story. But a lot of people don't, because they say it's not real. Well, you know, maybe this isn't real, but what is going to happen, I believe, is going to be a lot realer, and it's going to be a lot more painful. But we know the story about Lazarus and the rich man. And we know they went to the place of the Hadean world. On one side is Abraham's bosom, the other side is Hades. And as the story of God tells us, and in Hades he, that is the rich man, lifted up his eyes, being in paradise? No, torment. And seeing Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. He was over there in a place that, how do you describe torment? Is it a nagging wife? Is it a dog chasing you? Is it that fire? What's torment? But whatever it is, whoever is on that side will be there until they are disposed into the second death, which is the lake of fire. Now, we know this particular scripture. You read and try to find out what's going on, and basically you're going to come up that there was a place that garbage, fire, burned. It just burned, it stank, and it says worms die not. Why would you want to be there when something symbolic telling you that the worms die not? Now, I have no idea of what that's going to be. The fire is not quenched. It's not going to go out. And that's where you're going to be, because you chose not to believe in hell. Hell is a place of everlasting destruction from the presence of God. We've read those scriptures before, but we'll read them again. And ye become imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that ye became an example to all that believed in Macedonia and in Achaia. For from you has sounded forth the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but in every place your faith to Godward is gone forth, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves report concerning us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turn unto God from the idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus Christ, to deliver us from the wrath to come. When I first saw the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, and these individuals, they got the so-called Ark of God, and they open it up, and the special effects was really neat to imagine. Now, that's their imagination. What came out of that ark and what it did to the people. And I said, all right, they deserved it. And you know, we can say all right to all of those individuals in this world, and including ourselves, that the word of God is right there telling us what to do and how to eliminate the wrath that is to come. Why don't they listen? Why don't I listen? Why don't you listen? But you know, God gave us a choice. And he told us and he warned us, a wrath is going to come to those individuals that will not obey me. And we have nobody to blame. Hell is a waterless place with no exit. The same story that we had before. This rich man is over there. He looked across, he's seen Abraham and he's seen Lazarus. Now 24 says, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. Now the story about this, did that rich man have any pity on Lazarus? What did the Bible say? That he had sores and boils and all of that on his body. And it tells us that the dogs licked it to give him relief. And this man saw this. And he did nothing. But now he's asking for help. Asking if Lazarus may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now here he is comforted, and thou art in anguish. And besides this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, that they that would pass from hence to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from thence to us. Can you imagine what that guy is going through? What is running through his head? I should have. They told me. And you know, if this story is true, I'm going to have to say that all the people of Noah's time is on that same side saying, why didn't we listen? Why didn't we listen when Noah was telling us what to do? And so, if we fail to heed the word of God, we too is going to be on that side. But you know, we have enough information to know we can't even say nothing, because we should have known better. Hell is a place of outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, we've all told stories here that what darkness is. Here in South Carolina, it is dark. You go down those roads, it is dark. And one day, I decided, I go down 61. I decided to see how dark 61 is. And I turned out my lights. And in that quick moment, I turned them on quickly, because you can't see nothing. You can't see anything. It is dark out here. But I believe it's going to be darker if we're there. Weeping, we all cry. We can't help it. We say, I'm not going to cry, but something is going, fear, love, or whatever, it's going to just cause the tears to go. In this case, the weeping is going to come because we know I'm there forever. There's not an opportunity for me to get out. And your mind is going to tell you, you know, I went to church, they told me what to do, but I found things more important outside to do. My job, or whatever it is. I did it. I failed to heed the words of God, and now I am here. And the Bible said there is going to be gnashing of teeth, grinding of teeth. and it's not going to be a good thing. The scripture said, give us an illustration. It says, and cast ye out the unprofitable servant. What good are we to God if we are sinning? What good are we? And so he's going to do something about it. He's going to cast us out into outer darkness. Now, if all the descriptive definition of hell above are figuratively and like somebody's imagination, think about how worse are the realities of hell going to be. God is just painting us a picture. Hell is not a place that any rational thinking person would want to go or want anyone else to go. I've heard stories such as, you know, entertainers, oh, I can't wait to get to hell with all my buddies. That is stupid. That is the stupidest thing that you can say. Oh, I don't believe hell. God is a loving God. You know, if they say God is a loving God, why don't they read his book and they will see these things? They will see what the loving God is going to do with those people that disobey him. Those people that are unproductive to him. You know, Greg and I, we talk a lot. And one time we was discussing, and there's no options here. You either obey God or you're lost. There's no third choice. You do or you did. One of the two. And we like to choose, instead of A, we like to choose B, C, D, and E, and F. And all of them is in a place like this. When you come to an age of accountability, God expects you to obey him. And if you choose not to obey him and you die, you're going to find out what this place is all about. And it's your choice. It's your choice. And friends, we got people out there that we care about. Why don't we try to warn them? Why don't we try to give them a heads up and say, you know, here is what the Bible says. So, anybody that's unrighteous and die without repenting will be in a place called hell, or a place that is called the second death, a lake of fire that you can't see forever and ever and ever and ever. So why don't we choose eternal life? I want you to think about these scriptures before you go to bed, on your way home, or wherever you're going, because these scriptures aren't going to go away. It is going to be there until you die or until Christ comes back. And we may try to use some excuses such as this, but God says, and be not afraid of them that kill the body, but who are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. If you want to be afraid of somebody, be afraid of Jesus. Because he's going to judge us on that last day. And what is he going to judge us with? His words. Did you obey the gospel? No. So guess where you're going to go? This is another one that scared me when I first learned of it. For if God spared not the angels when they sinned, but cast them down into hell, or to hell, and committed them to pits of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. The angels is a little higher than us. But if God didn't spare them, what do you think is going to happen to us? If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their soul to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Again, as a reminder, if God spared not the angels, what's going to happen to you and I if we fail to obey? The lesson is yours. There will be a day of reckoning. And since I have been getting older and older, I think about death. I think about one day not being here and missing my friends, especially my grandson at this particular time. But you know, if I miss heaven because I chose not to obey God, it's going to be my fault. If you miss heaven, it's going to be your fault. And the song is appropriate if we're going to sing. It's entitled Trust and Obey. God has given us those warnings of what not to do. God has told us how not to go to hell. Now it's up to us to prove that we are a Christian, that we are a child of God. And when death comes for us, we will not go there. We offer an invitation to those that need the prayers of the church, those that have requests from us to help them to grow, because we need one another to help us get over. You know, there's a saying that we all use now, is I got your back. But do we really have one another's back? If we see somebody faltering, are we running there immediately trying to help them up? Or do we wait until they crash and burn and then try to go to their rescue? We need the help of one another. I need your help. You need my help to stay faithful. So whatever need that you have, we ask that you make it known as we stand and sing.